This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for lectures, features, and radio shows. And now, here's Coy Barefoot.
Karen Agnes joins me live in studio. She is the founder and director of the Network of Enlightened Women, NEW, N-E-W. She's also a graduate of Mr. Jefferson's University and a second-year law student here at the University of Virginia Law School. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. Before we talk about NEW, give us a little Karen Agnes 101. Where are you from, your background, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm a born and raised Hoosier from Indianapolis, Indiana, and fell in love with UVA on a visit out here. I just loved all the politics and history and have spent many an afternoon up in Monticello. So I've gotten my money's worth out here. And I graduated in 2006 with an American Studies degree and a minor in government from UVA, and then headed straight to law school. So I'm now in my second year of law school here at UVA.
How was the first semester, first year? Congratulations for surviving.
I survived it, by the way.
Was it pretty rough? As rough as people say?
Yeah, it's pretty intense, especially when you're trying to run a nonprofit on top of it in the side, you know?
So tell us about NEW, the Network of Enlightened Women. Go back to the very beginning. And the best place to start, really, Karen, is your experience as a UVA undergrad before NEW.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some context for, where this group came from.
Yes. Well, we're now in our third year, so we do have some history to this organization now. During my first two years at UVA, I was involved in some politics and then had the tremendous opportunity to go intern in Washington, D.C. for one of my senators, Senator Lugar. And being in Washington, D.C. was a fabulous experience over the summer. Highly recommend any of the young people out there listening to take an internship in D.C. if they can.
What do you think it is that most people don't know about Capitol Hill that you know because you spent some time there, that most people who would never maybe visit once in their lifetime, what is it you think that goes on up there that most people aren't aware of?
That young people make such a difference up there, that you can rise real fast in a congressional office and, you know, you're by the senator's, you know, side helping him decide how he's going to vote on something, because there's so much going on that there's a lot of people with a lot of energy are there making big decisions.
You know, that's an excellent point that's really insightful, because I would not have thought of that. I would have overlooked that. But if you go up on Capitol Hill and start going around to the offices, 90% of the people up there are like under 35. They're mostly young people, and they keep very long hours.
They do.
They're underpaid.
Maybe that's why they're all young.
So you interned in Washington.
Yes, and it was the first time I'd really been surrounded by other conservative women who were really interested in politics, and not so much just people that, you know, wanted to throw out kind of one-liners, Republican lines or Democratic lines, but people that really cared about the issues and wanted to discuss them in an intelligent manner. And we could really probe each other kind of on deeper issues. So when I came back to UVA, I really sought out an environment like what I had found in D.C., intelligent conservative women that wanted to talk about important issues that we were dealing with. And so I looked around UVA and searched for women organizations, and all of them were on the left. So then I decided to go to the Women's Center at UVA and scheduled an appointment with their director of diversity. And she gave me a tour of the Women's Center. And at the end, I just asked her, would you be interested in sponsoring a conservative group? And she just looked at me like I was crazy, laughed, and said, not here. And so that's when I decided that, hey, I'm just going to start my own group. And so,
good for you.
Yeah. So we started a group of, you know, it was real small at first, about 10 students. But we really wanted to stress the educational component, talk about conservative ideas and conservative women that were maybe often left off our college syllabi. So we got together as a book club, met every 2 weeks to discuss, we'd have conservative woman of the week or read books and discuss them. And really, it just created a wonderful group and atmosphere for us. And we just kept meeting and kept meeting. And finally, we started getting some press for some things we were doing, and so started to spread nationally.
So y'all have been in Time Magazine, right?
Yes.
And you've been on the Laura Ingraham Show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Now, it started as a book club here at the University of Virginia among conservative women undergraduates, right?
Right.
And now we're looking at a national organization that is, chapters are springing up at universities across the country.
Right. We're on over 15 college campuses nationally, all the way down to Texas and out to Oregon. So all across the country. And, you know, one thing I always tell people is when you get a group of women together, you just never know what's going to happen. And that's what's happened with NEW. We started as a book club, but once they get together and start to organize, a lot of our groups take more of an activist stance and, you know, host speakers or host debates and really try to challenge kind of the liberal radical feminist ideas that dominate a lot of college campuses and try to bring a more conservative perspective.
And that perspective is what? What is the message to? We're talking with Karen Agnes, the founder of the Network of Enlightened Women, founded right here in Charlottesville at the University of Virginia. Give me an idea of what is that message? What is that conservative philosophy for young women that you try to impart to? Like, let's just say a young woman came up and said, "Hey, I'm interested in this. What's this all about? What do you actually do?"
Well, I think it's important to keep a perspective in what we're kind of going up against on college campuses. And a lot of that is the Women's Studies Department, where so much of the viewpoint is focused solely on career, measuring women solely on their self-worth on the career aspect, and not recognizing the complexities of balancing motherhood and families and work. And so I think we try to bring a perspective of giving more credit and recognizing the value of that motherhood and recognizing the complexities that women are going to have to face. And more importantly, and really a big issue, is kind of our perspective on how we deal with it. Not seeing it as a negative thing that we're going to have to balance work and family, which I think is a major problem in kind of the feminist movement today. They kind of take that victim perspective that everything is so terrible. But, you know, seeing it as a challenge and something that we should embrace and almost be thankful for, that we have all these options open for us with motherhood and work and careers.
Yeah, it's actually as many challenges as America has today in the 21st century. You have to look at that as a fantastic that we can give young women in our society these options.
Exactly.
That most societies and throughout history, and a lot even today in the world, they don't give their women.
Right. American women are in a great position today.
Yeah. We're talking with Karen Agnes of the Network of Enlightened Women. Now, tell me about setting up in different college campuses. Have people like just contacted you and said, "Hey, Karen, we'd like to do that here"? Has it been that easy, or have you had to go out and find leaders in different places?
Really, kind of, it's kind of a two-way deal. We have a website up, www.enlightenedwomen.org. And a lot of people, when I write articles, I write for Town Hall, or when we've gotten Time Magazine press, people will find our website. And on there's a form you can fill out if you're interested in starting a chapter. And they send that in. And then I'm a big fan of not having everybody reinvent the wheel. So I send them all kinds of documents, our constitution, flyers, anything I can to help make it easier for them to start a chapter. And then there's some specific colleges where we've kind of like sought out women. For example, I'm from Indianapolis, obviously. And so I thought it'd be great to start a chapter at Indiana University. You know, got to get one started back home.
Yeah.
And so I found some young women who have started a chapter out there, and they've done a great job.
That's great. Now, what can you brag about any of those chapters, any particular groups that you're really proud of?
Oh, yeah. I'm very proud of our Arizona State University chapter. Actually, two sisters started it last year together, and they've done a phenomenal job. They handed out pamphlets last year to counter the vagina monologues, and this year they're hosting Christina Hoff Summers to try to bring a new perspective on that issue. Also, our University of Florida chapter has over 30 members and is very strong down there. And then the UVA chapter is obviously our flagship chapter, and they just kind of remain very strong and keep a presence here at UVA.
We're talking with Karen Agnes of the Network of Enlightened Women. You can learn more online at enlightenedwomen.org. What is the vision? What's your, you know, when you sit back at the end of the day and you think, what could this be? What do you see? Because, you know, tremendous, big, influential national organizations, this is how they start. You know, just somebody with a dream and willing to do some work.
Yeah, I'd like to see more balance brought to the college atmosphere. I mean, ultimately, you know, you wish you don't have to have an organization like this, because you wish that it wasn't such a challenge to get a lot of the ideas out there. But we are a 501c3 organization, and we're filing those kind of paperwork, and you know, really trying to just grow nationally with dedicated women starting the chapters. So, you know, in 3 years, we've gone to 15 college campuses. Who knows what I can do with it in another 3 years? So
it is amazing.
It's very exciting.
Now, let's talk politics. I want to get your thoughts about the national races, and just start anywhere you want to start. There's a whole lot going on and a whole lot to talk about, but share some of your thoughts about what we've been seeing in the news every single day here.
Well, I'd have to say I find the Hillary Clinton race the most exciting, because I think she's obviously dealing with a lot of gender politics issues. And as much as she claims she wants to unite the country for her, I think the key thing that she can do is unite women against her, because I think she's an insult to Republican women. in a lot of ways, how she slights motherhood. I remember in the 1992 campaign, she made a comment about how she could be staying home, you know, making cookies
right,
and
right.
Yeah, having tea. And then on the left, I find it really interesting. Actually, 2 weeks ago, Kate Michelman, who was a big NARAL pro-choice woman, came out in support of Barack Obama. And then in Virginia and Maryland, she lost women for one of the first times. I think they're finally seeing her for what she is, and that she's, you know, now kind of pandering, you know, trying to cry and get the women's sympathy vote. And I think the feminists like Betty Friedan of the 60s and 70s would be embarrassed in what she's doing now to win, you know.
What are your thoughts about the latest is that she's making fun of Barack Obama? This recent clip that they keep playing about her saying, oh, the skies will open up and everyone will get along. Well, she's really making fun of him, mm-hmm. Which I think is just a, you know, my two cents, it's sort of a sign of desperation, you know, because that's all she's got at this point is to make fun of the other guy. I mean, talk about not discussing the issues. It's mm-hmm. It really is amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty desperate. And I guess it just shows that the Clintons, you know, continue to impress us by how they're willing to stoop to any level to try to get it done.
We're talking with Karen Agnes, the founder of the Network of Enlightened Women, online at enlightenedwomen.org. And on the right, John McCain looks like he's got this nomination tied up. We still don't know if Michael Bloomberg's going to run an independent run from the
Nader
right.
Nader just announced today, right?
Nader's running an independent run on the left, although, mm-hmm. you know, we don't know how many ballots he'll get on. I'm not so sure.
Right.
You know, the Democrats will fight him, but and then he'll sue and, you know, and then he'll complain in the press.
Usual,
and, yeah, the usual Ralph Nader stuff.
I don't think Bloomberg will take much from McCain.
What's your thoughts now about the sort of, I don't want to call it a split, but clearly there are a lot of Republicans who haven't been happy with John McCain and wanted to see a more, you know, for lack of a better phrase, a more socially conservative nominee for the Republican Party.
Yeah, I think it's a fair criticism of him, because a lot of the big issues in the last few years, I think there's a lot of criticism that he's compromised too early on things, and he's been too willing to kind of, you know, try to be the media darling and cater to the left. And so I think there are a lot of big questions being raised about him, and people are trying to, you know, see if they trust him and see if they're going to be willing to show up on the polls.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see who he picks as his vice president.
And that's a big issue. There's a lot of speculation in the blogs of, you know, hopefully he'll go for like a, you know, someone who has very strong conservative credentials to maybe counter some of his wavering on some things.
And it really is going to be setting up the next candidate, likely,
right,
who he picks as his vice president. Because if he wins, which he absolutely could win this race,
mm-hmm.
he probably won't run for a second term because of his age. Just my guess.
His mom's 95.
But either way, even if he loses, his vice presidential candidate is very likely going to be in the top tier of candidates the next time around.
Right.
Who would you like to see him pick? You got any ideas?
I haven't settled on anybody yet. I know there's a lot of speculation on candidates. I think Mark Sanford from South Carolina. I've been hearing a lot about him.
Very popular Republican governor down there.
What he did 2 weeks ago when he was upset about South Carolina, all the spending and all the appropriations, all the earmarks. Did you hear he brought in two pigs, one named Pork and one named Barrel, and brought them into the South Carolina legislature? any guy that does that's good. That's a good way to start. So I'm going to look into him.
Karen Agnes is the founder of the Network of Enlightened Women, a network of to foster education and leadership skills among conservative university women, founded here at the University of Virginia in 2004, and now has 15 chapters across this great country of ours. So how can folks, if they're listening here locally, participate in your organization? Is it open to women perhaps who aren't necessarily students at the university but want to participate?
It's mostly a student group, but we actually have some mentors in the community that are excellent. So anybody that's interested in getting involved should get on our website at enlightenedwomen.org, or can email me from there just for information, info@enlightenedwomen.org. And I'm actually going to be giving a speech to the new chapter there on March 26th.
That was my next question. You have some talks coming up, right?
I do. I'm going to be speaking down at the University of Florida new chapter on March 5th and giving a speech on Women's History Month. And then I'll be giving a similar talk on March 26th here at UVA, and that will be open to the public and will be advertised.
There you go. And when you say you write for Town Hall, tell mm-hmm. folks what that is, because there may be some folks in the community who might enjoy that and don't know about it.
Yeah, townhall.com is an online community for conservative writers. A lot of the articles are a lot of the authors write nationally syndicated columns. And then there's also some people that just write for Town Hall. And so I write about a monthly column there and just kind of address issues. I've written about Hillary Clinton's election. I've written about the youth vote and how that's important and how the candidates need to pay attention to that. And so I just try to address issues that I can, you know, try to address accurately from a college perspective.
Karen Agnes is a second-year law student at the University of Virginia, a graduate of Mr. Jefferson's University, and the founder of the Network of Enlightened Women, which now has 15 different chapters across America, online at enlightenedwomen.org. Karen, congratulations, and thank you for being here.
Well, thank you.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show is on the air Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 in the afternoon. Join in on the show by calling 434-977-1070 or feel free to leave a comment on the show at SeavillePodcast.com. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.